This is Detective Devers. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Hey, I talked you out the scene, but I kind of wanted to get in a little taped interview real quick, if possible.
Yeah, what? I'm sorry?
Pardon me?
I couldn't hear you.
I said I talked to you out at the scene tonight about that, at the shooting, but I wanted to get a taped interview real quick if I could, just kind of so I don't forget everything when I go to write.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, you're... And just go over it real quick, kind of what you guys did, how you know you got the call and responded.
Okay. We got the call. I believe it said a shooting, PD or SO already on scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then going en route, you know, it's our policy to not enter scene until it's cleared.
Yeah.
I asked our dispatch confirming where it was, the location. I thought it was Pinecrest School. They said Dalen Swim School, and I said, "Is it clear to go in?" And I didn't get any response from them. But then we turned the corner. I saw a number of SO units, and they're waving us in.
Yeah,
I said, "Oh, it's clear. It must be clear." So, and then we had at the end of the driveway, of course, by the swim school, we had them waving. And we saw a body laying on the ground prone.
Yeah.
So they waved us in where they wanted us to go to block the traffic and everything. We got out. And AMR, the ambulance, is right there with us. We got in, and basically I was just trying to take care of scene safety for my guys, and they went, you know, to town with the medics.
Uh-huh.
And I think you guys flipped the patient over right away, right? You guys flipped them over, and then they hooked them up to the scope.
Yeah.
If there's any signs of life, and there were not. They got on the phone with Los Robles Hospital,
mm-hmm.
and they said, "You can just find it now. Go ahead and pronounce the patient because there's no signs of life."
Yeah.
So they went through the protocol. Patient was obviously dead, and they pronounced the patient at 1745.
Okay. Now, there was also a Battalion 3 chief. Truck 30 with Cap and you guys. You were first on scene, correct?
Engine 30 was first, along with AMR 441.
Mm-hmm.
And then Truck 30 came up, along with Battalion 3, Battalion Chief.
Okay.
Truck was not used for anything. I brought them up there in case we needed them, but they weren't needed.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Hey, can I get you to put...
Yes.
Your last name's... Engine 30?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, I want to just get another quick interview with you.
Okay.
Just if you can kind of tell me, you know, after getting the call, kind of what happened from there, what you remember.
We responded to the scene, and there was a sheriff standing out on Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And he was flagging us into the alleyway there where Glen Oaks apartments are.
Yeah.
And there was another sheriff up close to the scene asked me to do a chevron to block the alleyway. And then we got up to the scene and we found the victim laying face down on the pavement.
Uh-huh.
And so the medic that was on scene, he goes, "Well, let's prepare to intubate." So I was getting the O2 out and everything, getting ready to do that, and then I walked over. I was at the patient's side, so I checked for a radial pulse, felt no pulse. And I went to the carotid, felt no pulse, and then we started cutting off his garments, and then we rolled him over on his back and checked for a pulse again, and that's when we put the leads on him for the ECG machine, and then we had an asystole, and then the medic told us to back off for a second. He was making contact with the medical authority to see if they wanted us to work them up, given the criteria that we had there.
Yeah.
And then So then he said, well, let's go ahead and do our protocol. So I went ahead and auscultated for a heartbeat, and there was none.
Uh-huh.
Rechecked his pulse, had none, and then that's when they pronounced him. So
okay.
Pretty much that was the end of it. We didn't.
And who was it that pronounced?
The AMR, yeah.
441?
Yeah, I think it was 441.
Okay,
that was on.
And you know what time that was?
I think it was, I heard 1745. I didn't actually look at my watch, but I heard him say 1745.
Can you tell me about what wounds and things you saw?
Well, I counted, just looking briefly on his back, we saw 5 entrance wounds, and then we rolled him over. We were trying to, determine if they were exit wounds or entrance wounds. And then
from the back?
Right.
Okay.
So when we rolled him over, they were saying, oh, these are exit wounds, and then we saw, like, up on his upper right part of his chest, I could see where one was kind of protruding, out of the skin. It didn't quite make it all the way through, and, and I was just noticing his left wrist or forearm was pretty lacerated. He had some pretty deep cuts there that were down to the bone, and he had, like, abrasions to his face. I couldn't tell if it were from a gunshot wound or if it was from, because it was coagulated already, but he had quite a bit of blood on his face, like upper cheek, chin area. I think it was a right temple and cheek on his right side of his face,
uh-huh.
I believe.
Okay.
And it was kind of like laying in that position when we got there. His right cheek was to the pavement.
Yeah.
Kind of looking to his left.
Were there officers on scene when you guys got there?
Oh yeah.
And what were they doing? Did you?
They were pretty much securing the scene. Pointing us in the right direction. Where uh-huh. the patient was, and then uh-huh. and then. Well, one officer was standing over some evidence, telling us to, be careful of our step and not to step on. I think there was a weapon there, and
a weapon like
that he was carrying. It looked like an X-Acto knife or like a cart, carton box box cutter.
Oh, box cutter. Okay.
Yeah, like type of
uh-huh.
like a knife.
And where was that laying?
That was laying off to his left, about probably. I would say 6 feet from his body,
okay.
off to the left, because uh-huh. I set down a resuscitator in a trauma box, like in between him and the officer.
She uh-huh.
just said, "Be careful of trying to protect some evidence here." And so,
yeah.
Then there was some shells, looked like shells or the ends of or the actual bullet. I'm not sure. That were laying in a couple places around the patient also. So, and they had already had those marked off too, so
okay.
kind of trying to just be, careful around the scene.
Yeah.
He just said, "Be careful. We're trying to preserve, preserve the scene." So
yeah.
So once we cut his garments away and we pronounced him, we just covered him up with a blanket and left him.
Okay.
Left him there.
Okay. Anything else you can remember?
No, he just there was no, there was no movement, no agonal breathing. There was nothing. He was pretty much gone.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Can I talk to real quick?
Yeah, sure. Hang on.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Firefighter.
How you doing? This is Detective Devers.
How you doing?
Hey, your last name is spelled... Okay. Can you tell me what kind of... After you guys got the call tonight for this involved shooting, can you tell me kind of what happened?
Okay, what we saw?
Uh-huh.
We just approached the scene. We found the victim lying face down,
uh-huh.
prone. The first thing we did, first thing I did was grab some shears and expose the wounds.
Okay.
He
was lying face down?
Yeah, he was lying face down.
Okay.
We got some shears, cut off his clothes, his top. He had a sweater on or a shirt.
Uh-huh.
We cut that off to expose, see what we had. We had 5 or 6 gunshot wounds to the back. After that, we rolled him over, and we patched him up with the paramedics. Monitor.
Uh-huh.
And they made contact with the hospital, and they got pronounced him.
Okay, and so AMR did that?
Right.
And do you know who that was, which paramedic?
AMR, yes, I do. That was, what was AMR unit, Kent?
441.
AMR unit 441, uh-huh. And the paramedic was...
And you were there when he did that?
Right.
Okay. And you say there was five bullet wounds?
Yeah, we kind of, it was between five and six.
Okay.
And there was trauma on his right forearm.
Mm-hmm.
His right wrist, actually.
Okay. What kind of trauma?
It was slit. It was a laceration.
One
or? I saw two pretty big lacerations, maybe about... He's 7 inches long,
uh-huh.
On his right wrist.
Okay.
He also had trauma on his right jaw.
Okay.
We didn't know what that was from.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Now, you saw these bullet wounds on the back. Were those entrance or exit?
Entrance.
And how do you know that?
Because there was no exit wound, and there was we did find a slug that was lodged in his torso.
Uh-huh.
And didn't quite escape the skin.
Okay.
Kind of stuck there.
And that was after you rolled him over?
Right.
Okay. When you guys got there, did you see officers there?
Yes.
How many did you see?
I don't really know. I would say maybe five.
Okay. Did you know any of them?
No, I didn't.
Okay. What were they doing?
Pretty much guarding the scene for us, waving us in.
Uh-huh. Any of them doing any type of first aid or anything like that?
No. There was somebody over him when we got there. I don't know who it was, but we didn't. Didn't relay any information.
Okay, so somebody over him, like they were trying to help him or do...
Maybe trying to, maybe see if there's a pulse.
Uh-huh.
It kind of happened really fast.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Anything else you can think of?
No.
Okay. All right, I'll let you guys go. I appreciate your help.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.